Support for WPR comes from UW-Superior Center for Continuing Education, offering Conversations on Living Alone, a three-part series beginning Wednesday, April 17th via Zoom. Details at uwsuper.edu. Support for WPR comes from Focus on Energy, committed to helping Wisconsinites focus on the planet by making smart energy choices. Energy resources for Earth Day and every day can be found at focusonenergy.com.
You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you with us on this Thursday, April the 19th. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 8 o'clock. We will hear from a guest for the next half hour or so who says blue grit is responsible for the shift in power in Congress and many state houses across the country this past fall. What is blue grit? Well, it's the resolve the grassroots progressive activists are demonstrating and how they are bringing back people into politics, people that our guest says have been ignored too long by the mainstream Democratic Party. Blue Grit is also the name of her new book. Laura Flanders is our guest. Her book, Blue Grit, True Democrats Take Back Politics from the Politicians. And we will talk with her and welcome your questions for her until about 8:30 this morning. Our hour is abbreviated today because the Senate Judiciary Committee is going to start its hearing at 8:30 our time, and we will be bringing you NPR's live coverage of that hearing at 8:30. 1-800-642-1234 is the number to call if you would like to talk with Laura Flanders, if you would like to agree or not that maybe the Democratic Party should do more to appeal to its progressive base. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or talk at WPR.org. Laura Flanders is a radio host. She hosts her own radio show, Radio Nation, on Air America Radio. She's the author of several books, including Blue Grit. And she will be in Wisconsin, in Madison, on Sunday. There will be a talk and a signing at the Barrymore Theater in Madison on Sunday. I don't have a time handy on that. Maybe Leo can find that out for me and I can pass that along. And Laura Flanders joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Glad to be with you. I think it's 7 o'clock.
Well, good. You have it. 7 o'clock at the Barrymore on Sunday, April 22nd. All right. So who are the true Democrats, Laura Flanders?
Well, in the book, there are some with big D, some with little d. These are folks who, as you said, grit comes to mind. They both inspire and take on the tough challenges, and they also really make the Democratic establishment pretty uncomfortable, just like that impenetrable matter that gets in your shoe. They are everybody from the folks at, groups like Wellstone Action that train grassroots activists in how to run campaigns in the style that Paul Wellstone did, that remain in touch with the base voters, to candidates like Carol Shea Porter of New Hampshire, who won an upset win for the Democrats in a pickup last year by running on an anti-war platform that the DCCC, the Congressional Campaign Committee, thought was too far out for their support. She never got a cent from Rahm Emanuel, but she won the day.
Yeah. And you do attribute these true Democrats, these gritty Democrats, the progressive Democrats, as why Democrats won control of power of Congress and some state houses?
Well, you know, I really do. I think that what we learned in 2000 was you can win the popular vote and still not win the White House. What we learned in 2004 was Democrats could match the Republicans dollar for dollar, cent for cent, and still lose. I think what we've learned in the last, 8 years, what's made the difference for the Republican side are their ground troops. And I think that those ground troops were out in force in support of Democratic candidates in 2006. Some were more progressive than others, but you ended up with a Congress where the largest single caucus is the Progressive Caucus. And as I said, I think the pickups were in marginal districts, many of which were places that the leadership hadn't even decided to fight. They continued to dedicate the vast majority of their money to the swing district strategy, which they pretty much always pursue. Local folks took on their Congress at the local level. They ran in primaries. They put up candidacies that broke with the norm. And I do believe that's what put the Democrats over the edge. Pickups, two each in the key primary states of Ohio and New Hampshire, were both anti-war candidates. New York's John Hall in the 19th. I think it was the surprises that won, and that's what the Republicans learned long ago. It's the passion on the streets and the ability to mobilize social networks, not just how many TV ads goes into a place that carries the day.
But I also thought there were wins in other states like Montana and others where the Democrat who won was a not exactly someone you would call a left-winger.
Well, I would say blue grit is a very good description for John Tester in Montana. Mm-hmm. He was breaking with the Democratic Party on trade. He is a fair trade advocate. He's an organic farmer. He called for the Patriot Act to be repealed in a debate with his Republican opponent, Conrad Burns. And Montana's actually a fascinating place to look at for this grassroots grit stuff. I wrote about it for a cover story of The Nation magazine. You know, much of the national media tend to focus on the horse race, you know, the candidates running around the track. If you look at the stands and who actually turned out and made a difference, in Montana, and the Democratic Party there knows this very well, the people who were on the ground were Montana conservation vote, Montana women vote, the native vote that turned out in force, and a Democratic state party that's actually pretty connected and embedded with all those organizations because, well, for 10 years they were totally written off by the National Democrats and were mercifully free of their advice.
Yeah. Do you agree with a writer like Thomas Frank who thinks that Democrats should focus on some of these populist issues but should downplay issues like gay rights and abortion?
Joy, and I don't know what you think of that, but I think that the Democratic Party, whether they like it or not, their base includes women who from time to time want or need an abortion, who definitely support abortion rights, gays and lesbians who are fighting for equality under the law, under the 14th Amendment, racial justice activists who are trying to defend affirmative action. You know, whether they like it or not, that is their base. And I don't think Democratic candidates are ever going to be anti-gay, anti-choice, anti-racial justice enough to please their critics, and yet they bend over backwards not to stake out a position or to be sort of vague about their decision, and I think that's what makes them look kind of shady in the public eye. And when Hillary Clinton says something, as she did the other day, asked about the comments of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs about homosexuals in the military, she was asked point blank, do you think homosexuality is immoral? And when she said, I think that's for others to decide, that's not leadership, that's just dodging. And I think as long as the Democrats dodge these issues, they're going to be dogged by them. And frankly, when you take a position, they're not such losers as you might think. I mean, we've made tremendous progress on gay equality over the last 10, 20 years, and there are people like, well, Skip Holden in Baton Rouge, an African-American, not gay guy, ran for mayor. Now he's the first African-American mayor of his town. He did support marriage equality. He was asked why. He said it was part of his civil rights commitment that he felt fell under the 14th Amendment. He stood firm. He stood tall. And he's in office today. I think it's not necessarily a loser.
Yeah. So you think of a Democrat like Hillary Clinton is far too centrist, far too timid, afraid to move left?
Well, I'll tell you. I mean, the book is a lot about how we need to not just look at the sort of tip of the iceberg, the candidates, but how we need to look at the structure of the way they do politics. Yes, I would say Hillary Clinton has really, you know, the right have all the ammunition they need against Hillary Clinton. What she needs to do is warm her support on the other side of the spectrum. And there is this weird habit, big difference between how the Republicans treat their base, sort of kiss the ring of the religious right, the libertarians, promise, seduce, flirt. They may not give them everything they want, but they sure do invite them out to dinner. And on the other side, there tends to be this habit of almost denying the base even exists, running from their issues, whether it's fair trade or the war on Iraq. I think that there is plenty of evidence to show that when candidates embrace the issues that are mobilizing and motivating their base, they can A, win, and B, make progress on those issues, which the party claims to believe in. You know, another part of the book is about, as I said, how politics is done. And I'm afraid under the last Clinton administration, referring to Bill, we saw a party that built up an awful lot of money in national coffers at the national level, but really left the state parties to kind of fester and rot. Howard Dean, I think, is onto the right thing when he talks about building up all 50 state parties. And I'm suspicious that Hillary is still going the very high-dollar donor route to her presidential campaign. And I just don't think that will enliven the base in the way that could make the difference.
Yeah. Well, Barack Obama's, he's not, he's getting individual donors, but he's raising as much money as she is.
And he's raising it from small donors, $25 mm-hmm. donors. That's got to be good for democracy, no matter what.
Yeah. So who's the grittiest of the Democrats?
Well, I'm probably like you, reserve judgment at this point. Mm-hmm. We're still a year ahead of the primaries. Anything could happen. I think it's an awful kind of straitjacket we get ourselves into, thinking that this A is the plate of candidates that we are going to have for the next year and a half. It may not be true. And be backing ourselves into backing one or the other when there's plenty of room for surprises.
Our guest is Laura Flanders. She is a radio host, has her own show, Radio Nation, on Air America. She is the author of several books. Her latest is Blue Grit: True Democrats Take Back Politics from the Politicians. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Laura Flanders, author of Blue Grit: True Democrats Take Back Politics from the Politicians. Laura will be in Madison this Sunday at the Barrymore Theater for a talk and a book signing. 7 o'clock, Barrymore Theater, Madison on Sunday. Let's go right to the phones. We only have 10 more minutes with Laura Flanders. George in Brooklyn. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, folks. Laura, I listen to you whenever I have both the time and you're on the air. My concern is that the Democrats, the progressives, the people that are interested in fairness are only interested in the 2008, January 2009 elections, and that they are losing sight of the long term. The Democrats are being set up so that they'll win the presidency, maybe hold the two houses of Congress, but end up being blamed for losing the war, being blamed for probable recession that will come during the period, and not having the money to carry out progressive programs. And the only way to recover the debt that has been run up by this is by increasing taxes. In 6 years, the Republicans will be back in. And so now the Democrats should also start thinking about, as Bush didn't, you know, he won the war, but he lost the peace.
Yeah.
Think about winning the election, but also programs which are doable, not a wish list. I'll take my answers off the air.
George has given this some thought, to Laura Flanders.
Yes, I mean, I think the programs that are doable are some of the programs that you find talked about in the book Blue Grit, where I travel across the country and talk about the role that progressive leaders and their organizations are playing, changing policy around the country, whether you're talking Salt Lake City, you know, blue city in a red state of Utah, where Mayor Ross Rocky Anderson has managed to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in his city by something like 70% in the matter of, I don't know, 10 years. There's a real hunger, and our caller's absolutely right, for changes that are real. And I think, you know, we've got some good proposals out there on health care, I think, from John Edwards. Another one from John Edwards on a greenhouse gas emissions, taxing the emitters. You know, Democrats, you know, we often get the mantle applied to Democrats of, you know, political ambition, overstepping itself and tumbling at the first hurdle. I think on this occasion, this is not about political ambition. This is about getting this country out of a ghastly war. It's about trying to stitch back some form of a social safety net, rebuild some levees around our cities, and trying to set the country back on a relationship with the world where we stand tall for international law, for against torture, for nuclear non-proliferation. I don't think it's a time when we can only be focused on sort of party fortunes. But I think that if a Democrat comes into office with his ear to the grassroots, and who's able to hear the hunger for national health care, the hunger for public schools that work, and the concern that's out there about the environment, they can come up with policies that people will support. Polls show people even support an increase in taxes if they could get some health coverage out of it.
Thank you, George. Don in Winona. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just want to say I have a feeling, or it seems to me, that people aren't particularly I don't think there's this huge swing to, you know, the progressive left. I think people are just hungry for common sense approaches to things, and they're sick of this sort of the radical end of each party. And this past midterm election was a huge reaction against the you know, hardcore, you know, radical neocon, you know, ineptness. You know, the complete, you know, they're just a bunch of ideologues, but people are tired of ideology, deep ideologies. They just want common sense results. And I think this is seen by the fact that the Democrats did well, but that marriage amendments were passed at the same time in a lot of states into state constitutions.
Yeah. And we get you, Don. I appreciate the comment. We're running short of with our time with Laura Flanders. A response?
Well, I agree. It's not a question of left and right. I do think it's a question of sort of bottom and top. The good news from the last election was that, in fact, we saw the first marriage amendment rejected at the polls by Arizona and most of the other states where they passed. The margin of victory was very tight. That issue's moving. There's no question. We've seen tremendous action in the last 10, 20 years. Little time, a lot of progress on that question. I don't think it's about right and left. And if you read Blue Grit, you'll find the sorts of work that's being done around the country, as I said, is on things like alternative sentencing. Should we be treating drug addicts as criminals or trying to get them help? It's on biofuels. Farmers wanting to get support for a new cash crop that would help their pocketbook and help the climate. It's about things like, you know, re-expanding the debate about reproductive rights from simply abortion to the whole gamut of women and reproductive health. The issues have been kind of pigeonholed in our national coverage. That's not how they exist in people's lives. And I'm proposing that where a Democrat stands up strong on the issues that its constituents or his or her constituents care about on the ground, they can win even if they're tagged as progressive, because true grit, blue grit rather, doesn't have to do with progressive or conservative. It has to do with being responsive to the base and respecting the grassroots and listening to what's happening at the ground. You know, the right's been doing pretty well on that front for years. I think there are some lessons the other side could adopt.
Well, we are out of time, and we just got word that the hearings will begin in 1 minute. So, Laura Flanders, I thank you so very much for being with us, and I apologize for the abbreviated interview.
You're welcome.
Laura Flanders is the author of Blue Grit, True Democrats Take Back Politics from the Politicians. She is also a radio host, Radio Nation on Air America Radio. She will be in Madison on Sunday, 7 o'clock p.m. at the Barrymore Theater in Madison for a talk and a book signing. We thank her for being with us. We thank Carmen Jackson and Leo Duran for producing this hour, and we invite you to stay tuned. We will be going to NPR's live coverage of the Senate Judiciary Committee's hearing with Alberto Gonzalez, the Attorney General, testifying about the dismissal of 8 U.S. attorneys. That's coming up here on the Ideas Network.